Welcome to your civics class, chapter 3, Electoral Politics. In this chapter, we will understand how the representatives are elected in our country. And this chapter begins with the topic of why elections are necessary and useful in a democracy. This chapter also explains how electoral competitions among various political parties really help people. The first important point that we have to discuss is, why do we need elections? There are so many arguments in support of the requirement or need of elections. The first one is that elections take place regularly in any democracy. There are more than 100 countries in the world which are called democratic countries, and in all those countries, either one form or the other form of election is practiced. In an election, the voters make many choices. For example, they get a chance to choose who will make laws for them. So hence, elections are required. They can choose who will form the government and who will take the major decisions in government. Hence, elections are required. The voters can choose the party whose policies and programs will guide the government and the entire process of lawmaking. Hence, elections are needed. We all know what is an election. Election is a mechanism by which the voters of a country, they get a chance to choose their representatives at regular intervals and, if required, to change them whenever they want to do so. And that mechanism is called election. Now, the next important point that we need to understand is, what makes an election democratic? There are certain minimum conditions which need to be fulfilled to call an election democratic. If these conditions are not fulfilled, then the election is not a democratic election. The first condition is, every voter in the country should be able to choose their own representative. And the second point is, all political parties and candidates should be free to contest elections and should offer some real choice to the people. There are countries like China where no other political parties are allowed. Whether you vote for candidate X or Y, all the candidates belong to the same party. So such elections are meaningless elections. Parties and candidates should have the total freedom to contest elections. Otherwise, it is totally meaningless. Elections must be held regularly after every 5 years. In our country, it is 5 years. Some countries, it is 4 years. Once election was held, after that, in the next 20 years, no election. If that is the condition, that country is not a democratic country. The candidates preferred by the people should get elected. For example, the voter goes to a polling booth and cast vote for candidate X, but candidate Y is getting the vote, and the vote is getting registered in the name of Y. Then that election is cheating. It is not a democratic election. And the last point is, elections should be conducted in a free and fair manner where people can choose the candidate or the party according to their wish. People should not be threatened. People should not be terrorized. And people should not be bribed also. Such an election is democratically valid and correct election. Is it good to have political competition? That is what we are going to see next. Some people are against political competitions. Elections are all about political competitions. Without political competition, there cannot be any election. It is just like the two sides of the same coin. Elections are one side and political competitions are on the other side. They exist together. This competition takes various forms. At the constituency level, this competition takes the form of a competition among various candidates fighting to get the maximum vote and to get elected. Here are few reasons that support political competition as being good for people. Regular electoral competitions provide incentives to political parties and leaders, and all the political parties and leaders are there in order to participate in election, get elected, and come to power. Second point is, political parties know that if they raise issues that people want them to raise, then their popularity will increase and they will have a better chance of victory in the next election, because people will think that, oh, this particular political leader and this party is very good because they always talk for the people and their welfare and they try to solve the issues of the people. And the third point is, on the contrary, if they fail to satisfy the voters with their good works, then they will not get the support of the voters and they will never get a chance to win the election. Therefore, because elections are there, each political party and each leader, they try to do the best, try to project as the best party and best candidate. If a political party is motivated only by the desire of coming to power, even though that is the situation, it will be forced to do something for the people in order to get the recognition and support of the people during the election time and thereby to win the election. Now the next area that we have, what is our system of election? We have two types of election in our country. One is Lok Sabha election and the other one is Vidhan Sabha election. And our Lok Sabha election is held in a total of 543 constituencies all over the country. The entire country is divided into 543 constituencies and 530 Lok Sabha MPs are elected from the states, 15 MPs are elected from the union territories, and 2 Lok Sabha MPs are nominated by the President of India from Anglo-Indian community. Similarly, in our Rajya Sabha, we have 250 total members, and out of them, 12 members are nominated by the President of India from various experts, people, those who have proved their achievements and they have contributed to the country in the area of science, technology, art, music, or jurisprudence, legal experts, scientists. Such people get a chance to get nominated, these 12. And the remaining members, 238, they are elected by the Electoral College comprised of Lok Sabha and all the state legislative councils and state legislative assemblies. Now, so that election is Rajya Sabha election. Now, what is Vidhan Sabha election or legislative assembly election? The entire country, India, divided into Indian states and union territories. Each Indian state is given a Vidhan Sabha or legislative assembly. So in that particular state, or in each and every state, state-wise elections will be held after every 5 years in order to elect the Vidhan Sabha or legislative assembly for that particular state. Our Lok Sabha elections are called general elections because these elections are held all over the country, because each and every part of the country participate in the Lok Sabha election, even the remote places like Andaman Nicobar Islands or Lakshadweep, every part of the territory participates. Hence we call it general election. Sometimes an elected representative may die or he may resign from that elected post. Hence, his seat becomes vacant. In order to elect a new candidate for filling that vacant seat like that. We used to conduct an election only for that particular constituency from where that particular elected candidate died or he resigned. Such elections are called by-elections. Now, what is an electoral constituency? An electoral constituency is the geographical area from where a candidate is elected. We have Lok Sabha electoral constituency. We have similarly Vidhan Sabha or Assembly electoral constituency. For Lok Sabha elections, I have already told you that the whole country India is divided into 543 constituencies, and from each constituency a candidate is elected, and we call that candidate MP, Member of Parliament, because he is the member of Lok Sabha. And such members of Lok Sabha, they all come together and the Lok Sabha is formed after the general election. Similarly, from each state, in each state, the assembly elections are held and the people of that particular state participate in that election, and the candidate that get the maximum vote from a constituency is elected and he becomes an MLA, member of Legislative Assembly of that state. Like that, we have MLAs from Maharashtra, for Maharashtra, MLA for Karnataka or Tamil Nadu. And these MLAs join together and they make the rules, the laws for that particular state. In sum, the same principle applies to the local self-governing bodies like Panchayati Raj institutions, the district council or Jilla Parishad, Block Development Samiti, Gram Sabha, in the rural areas and in our cities, municipalities and mega cities like Bombay or Calcutta, the municipal corporations. The entire city is divided into wards, and from each ward a representative is elected. In big cities they are called corporators, in small cities they are called councillors. Similarly, panchayat also, panchayat ward, from where a candidate is elected, and that candidate will be called the ward member. In the language of the common man, a constituency is very often referred as seat, because how many constituencies are there in a state, that many seats are there in the state legislative assembly. The same is the case with our Lok Sabha also. How many Lok Sabha constituencies are there in our country, that many seats are there in Lok Sabha. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you very much.